Today on the Daily Shed, we discuss the principles of suck, bang, blow. Hello, friends. It's Workshop Wednesday. Welcome to the Shed. Workshop Wednesday is a new segment where I'm going to focus on workshop-related tasks, and today I'm going to teach you the principles of suck, bang, blow. Now, not only is that an amazing euphemism that guarantees you'll never forget it, and the name of a great bar in Sturgis, suck, bang, blow perfectly describes the process for generating power in a modern four-stroke gasoline-powered engine. Now, in upcoming episodes, we're going to refer to the operation of a gas-powered engine because I want to talk about a few diagnostic tips and tricks that I can teach you easily over the internet. So in order to teach you these things, I need to make sure you have a firm foundation for the principles of suck, bang, blow. So we're gonna do that. Now, I think if I draw it, that's gonna be the best thing for you. If you're listening on iTunes, I'm sorry, but you're SOL. You should come check us out on YouTube. It's more fun there anyway. Okay, so suck, bang, blow. I told you that that's the principle for a four-cycle engine, but I only gave you three cycles, and that's because bang takes up two of the four cycles. And when we refer to a cycle, what we're talking about is the piston moving up and down. So it takes four motions of the piston to create one full cycle of a four-cycle engine. And the way that works is you have a crankshaft, okay, and the crankshaft is where all the power from the explosion gets transferred to the transmission and then to your wheels, all right? And the way that the crankshaft works is it is offset. Let me just quickly. This doesn't have to be pretty, right? The crankshaft has these funky little offsets, like such, that connect to the piston. And so as this goes around and around and around, this piston is forced up and down. So there's a wrist pin in here, is what we call the pin that connects this, which allows the head to stay perfectly straight up and down while this connecting rod flexes, okay? So this crankshaft, there's four to eight of these, maybe even three if you have an older Daewoo, or 12 if you have a Viper, or like a Jaguar. So there's a bunch of these connected to your crankshaft, and they're all a number of degrees opposed. And that's not important for you understanding the way this works. We'll just stop there, okay? So this thing sits inside of your engine block, and then on top of that you have the head. And in the head you have valves, which open and close, and then you're going to have an ignition source, which is your little spark plug. And on top of these valves you have what's called a camshaft. Now if you've ever been around gearheads, they'll talk about camming their car, or stroking it. You might understand that by the end of this video. So essentially, what happens is this piston is currently in the downward position, all right? For the start of this exercise, the piston needs to be in what we call top dead center, which would mean it's at the very top of its travel, the exact top of its travel, and that's really important. This camshaft and this crankshaft have to be in perfect timing, and we do that by connecting the two together with either a chain or a very stiff vulcanized rubber belt. And there's timing marks which will show you, like, set this piston on top dead center. There'll be a timing mark here and a timing mark on the camshaft, and if you line those up to the links on the chain or, you know, each other, you're good. Okay, so suck, bang, blow. That's what we need to have happen in order for this engine to work, right? We're going to explain that. The suck is the first motion of the piston, which draws downwards. And when that happens, it creates a vacuum behind it. You imagine, you know, trying to pull anything out of a a tube or whatever, you're going to have a vacuum build up behind it, and it actually becomes difficult. Okay, so same thing is going to happen here. But what we're going to do is we're going to open our intake. Writing upside down is not easy. That's our intake valve. So as we're drawing the piston down, our intake valve opens. And what does that do? That intake simply vents to your carburetor or your throttle body, depending on if you're using a modern vehicle or not. But we're talking about mechanically operated, so your carburetor. And your carburetor is a device which mixes fuel and air, essentially. So it has a certain size hole that lets air go through. And it has another hole called a jet that lets fuel go through, and it also kind of sprays the fuel while it's at it to get it in this misty state. So as this piston draws down, this valve opens, allows the vacuum to draw the air and the fuel mixture into the combustion chamber. And those two things happen simultaneously because of this chain that's linking this camshaft to this valve and this crankshaft to this piston. Okay, and so these lobes on this camshaft, they're like oblong. So imagine the camshaft here, so you can see it. As this spins there, I'm pushing down, and when I rotate up, there's springs that snap everything back together. So that's how the valves work. Okay, so we draw down, we suck in fuel and air. Now what do? We have to compress it. Okay, we compress it by, the reason we compress it, first it preheats the mixture. Just compressing the air and fuel together creates heat of its own. Okay, so it preheats the mixture. It also assures that maximum burn is going to happen because everything is right close together. Otherwise, you might have residue laying around in here. So we're going to shove this piston back up, which compresses everything that's now inside this hole. And as that happens, we close this valve. So now both of these valves are closed. So nothing is getting back out. We're just sheer force. We're going to push this air and fuel into the top of this combustion chamber, compressing it to not its maximum, but a good ignition point. Okay, so now we have the bang. So these are the two strokes I was telling you. Suck, bang. Bang is two strokes. Compression and power. All right, so the actual, let me write that down. And I'm not doing it upside down this time. We have intake. Compression. Power. Exhaust. Okay, those are the actual four strokes. Suck, these two are bang, this is blow. So we have the compression, pushes everything together, now the spark plug fires, bang. Okay, that creates a small explosion inside this chamber, which forces the piston back down. Previously, the push-up, pull-down stroke was performed by the crankshaft. When you first start your vehicle, that power is provided by your starter. The starter turns the crank and makes it do its thing. Okay, after the engine's running, that upwards power is now being provided by the other cylinders firing. So as they fire down, it forces this up, and it's this, you know, that's the action. It's kind of self-serving. So the engine is actually, it's not a perpetual machine, but it is, the engine provides its own power to operate, and we just take what's left over to use for ourselves. Okay? So, bang happens, the valves are still closed, now the piston gets shoved down hard, and that creates the power stroke. That's the usable energy that we can take from the engine. We use some of that to turn the crank for the other pistons, we use the rest to drive the vehicle, provide power through the alternator, air conditioning, all that stuff is drawn off that power stroke. Now we're at the bottom, both valves are still closed, now we need to get rid of all the gases that are in there, because they don't burn anymore. So we open the exhaust valve. Drawing upside down is not easy. This is the exhaust valve, which is the last of our strokes. We open the exhaust valve. Now the piston shoves up, which pushes all the gases out. They're really super hot. They go into your muffler, all that stuff happens. That is the basic principle of how a four-stroke gasoline-powered engine works. There's other types of engines, but this is the vast majority of what you'll find in a modern vehicle. Diesel engines operate very similarly. They just don't have spark plugs. They fire just sheer compression force ignites them. But essentially, that's how it works. Now, I talked about guys who want to talk about camming their car. And essentially what that means is you replace this cam with a tuned cam with lobes that open the valves longer or close them faster. And that provides additional power over the manufacturer's specs. It also causes the car to run a little hotter or a little cooler, which it changes all kinds of things. In a modern computer-controlled car, that's a crisis. In an older gas-powered engine, not so bad. So this is the essential basics. This is the suck, bang, blow. This is what makes your car go down the road. And we're going to lean on this lesson in the following weeks on Workshop Wednesdays. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some of the things I've encountered on my truck recently that have inspired me to teach you a little bit about vehicles. Yeah, so that's all I got for today. Lesson one is in the books. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're listening on iTunes, you're just gonna have to come to YouTube to see the picture. I mean, I guess I'll take a picture and put it on the website thing, which I think will put it in your in the podcast thing, so that you can see what I just drew and marvel at the fact that I drew it upside down. Again, I'm also now on the Google Play podcast thing, I think. At least I got the email yesterday saying that I was approved, but when I searched for it, I didn't come up. So I don't know what that means. Other than that, thanks for stopping by. Don't forget Friday's Bi-Day question of the week is advice questions. Ask me anything from relationships to homeowners to vehicle maintenance to raising children or dogs, or I don't care. Ask me advice questions and I will answer them with my expertise. Send me some letters. I'll send you a fancy schmancy postcard because I like writing to people and I like receiving unexpected things from all over the world. Send me something to put on the wall. We'll do that too. Whatever. It's your show as much as it's my show. At least that's my intention. So thanks for hanging out. Please come back. Please share this video with your friends. Go leave me a comment. Let me know if this helped you at all. Let me know if I screwed up anything, because I don't have a script. I just do this on the fly. Talking off the top of my head, I might have flubbed up part of the presentation. I don't know. If so, I will apologize profusely and fix it next week. Until tomorrow, thank you.
Hey, Doc, wait! I want to ask you something.
Today's random fact is from Wikipedia, of course. Everything comes from Wikipedia. When was the first digital watch invented? On April 4th, 1972, the Pulsar was finally ready, made in 18-karat gold, and sold for $2,100. In modern money, that's like, $500,000 or something. That's not a real figure, I just made that up. It had a red light-emitting diode display. Digital LED watches were very expensive and out of reach to the common consumer until 1975, when Texas Instruments started to mass produce LED watches inside a plastic case. That's crazy that LED watches used to be expensive and now they're like, if you wear an LED watch, you're ghetto or something. I don't know. I have an 80s model Seiko. But ghetto, but digital watches used to be expensive. Who knew?